This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Just going to let you guys know that we've been doing some major overhaul of the official Paracast shop at the Paracast.shop. Literally speaking, Randall has been up nights and mornings trying to get things together. It's still got some formatting glitches we have to put together. But if you go to the Paracast.shop, you place an order, and you'll get what you ordered. I think you'll like the new look and the new selection. So check it out. That's as far as we're going to go with that. Kurt Collins joining us to talk about the UFO culture, what's going on with the Pentagon UAP task force, relating this to the past, which is the biggest thing about this UAP task force. It pretends as if all those years of Project Blue Book and all the other research and everything else that's gone on maybe never happened. This is all something new, something different. And maybe to separate the men from the boys, or just to get away from the history of the field, but doesn't help us explain what's going on. It doesn't say, we've had this going on for 75 years, whatever, or more, and we can't figure it out. It's hard enough to say, for the past 20 years, we can't figure it out. But the other issue would be here, we have all this happening now. Will there be a spokesperson who will get up there and talk to the media and answer the questions? Well, what about Roswell? They can still say, well, that was a Project Mogul balloon. It has nothing to do with this. What about all those other sightings over the years? Washington National Airport. What will their excuse be, Kurt Collins?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because Luis Elizondo made a point early on when he was interviewed saying that he didn't review UFO history and that he didn't want it to prejudice him and his investigations. Well, over time, he's become a part of the UFO community. He's associating with some people that have given him some information. And, you know, he's still shaky on UFO history. He said he, you know, focused purely on the investigations at the time. So in his recent media appearances, he's shown documents. One of them was about the green fireballs we mentioned recently. What he's really trying to prove by that is that there have been reports of things similar to Tic Tacs that go back for years. Well, I think that's kind of a weak point, because there's every shape UFO imaginable. And, you know, you could go back and pick, you know, triangles, or there's even some that look like tortoise shells and, you know, starfish, who knows. So he's trying to use that to bolster the Nimitz type events and Tic Tacs in particular. So he is finally going back to dig into UFO history just to support, you know, his, mostly what he's packaging there is this threat agenda, that it could be a national security issue. And that's how they've been able to get the military and the senators interested in this on that regard. Because, you know, something to me is seen, it's unidentified, what's its intent, and that sort of thing. Well, I strayed from your original question about history, so you'll have to remind me what the focus was there.
Well, it's mostly here if they will be having just a report, or will a spokesperson actually come out and answer reporters' questions and then be confronted with 10,000 questions about what has gone before?
I somehow doubt they'll want to address that. You know, for one thing, there are so many. You know, unless there's something really radical that where they want to open saying, yeah, well, we were wrong about all of those. I don't think that's the case. I think it's going to be a very limited admission, if it's even that. And you were talking about spokespeople. They've really controlled this. Now, in 2019, there was a Navy spokesman from Chief of Naval Operations, Joseph Gradisher, and he was answering some questions That changed, and Susan Goff of the Pentagon, and now it feels all UAP questions. You know, any UFO material goes through her, even though Gratisher is probably still involved in this, you know, because he was part of the Navy's UAP investigations. So, well, anyway, but before the lid was, before they chose to not let him speak directly, he said some things about what they could release. He said that they have not released characterizations or descriptions or any hypothesis or conclusions, and that, and I think this is a clue as to what's going to be in the report and why we will see some things and not see other things. He said that all sources of information pertaining to individual sightings and observations are being considered. Now let me get down to the particular thing here. The process should involve Department of Defense and intelligence community organizations. Any report generated as a result of these investigations will by necessity include classified information on military operations. Therefore, no release of information to the general public is expected. That's what he was saying in 2019. That is before Congress asked for a report. So clearly the Navy does not want to share the information. So there's a conflict there. They've got to come up with something to satisfy the request for the public. But that indicates to me we're really not going to get very much.
Well, this sounds like a very politically correct report then. And then we have all the stuff that's surrounding Elizondo and that spokesperson from the Pentagon. I know the Black Vault had a piece about all this, where allegedly his emails were disappeared, were erased, and then he goes on to quote something, which I think he misquoted, suggesting that they can't, even if they decide to, delete his emails until 7 years after he leaves employment. But what I read is it could be 7 years, period, after they were, it could be after they were written. And I don't think that's quite clear. I have to relook at the text. I might be misunderstanding it. But the question here is, if some of Elizondo's emails are being deleted, doesn't he have a copy on his own computer? Or did he just use Pentagon computers? Does he know what was in all those emails? If he has no copy, why would they hide it? Except to say, well, we can't give them to you because of national security concerns.
That's very interesting. And he's when we mentioned earlier his connection with the UFO community. Well, he's now hired Danny Sheehan, who's been part of the UFO community. He was he's a lawyer that's been involved in some high-profile non-UFO cases. I think even the, was the Pentagon Papers one of them? I may be wrong about that. But anyway, he's got some credibility. But he's also been involved in some kind of wild UFO stuff on the wild side. Now, he's representing Elizondo. They've, on his behalf, he's filed in a complaint against the Inspector General of the Army that's being investigated by the Inspector General. And it alleges that that the Pentagon has basically engaged in disinformation to damage his, to discredit him. So that's separate from the UAP report, but it's very interesting that there's two different UFO related investigations going on at the same time, and one of them is like a, you know, an ugly family fight.
This is like standard issue for the UFO field, though. All these crazy controversies that have come up, and they go on for years and years. It kind of muddies the waters, but maybe it's also intended to get Elizondo out of the picture, which gives him greater control over the narrative, because right now he's no longer in the military, and he's clearly at this point a loose cannon, and all they need right now, the least, are loose cannons. We don't have loose cannons here. We are a loose cannon in general. We all need individual loose cannons. This is the loose cannon. Well, we don't want to get into that. Gene Randall, Kurt, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So this is the Loose Cannon Paranormal Show. Randall, go on, please.
Hey, Kurt, this is like, you know, just checking out your website here at Blue Blurry Lines, which it's really great to see that you've been keeping this up. How long have you been doing Blue Blurry Lines now?
Let's see. I think the first entry was either 2011 or 2012. So there's an anniversary coming up.
Oh, that's pretty cool. It's like a really great blog here with some stuff. I see now you've got this story we've been talking about is featured right on your main page here. I hope you don't mind me asking. It was written by a fellow named Roger Glassell. Now, is that someone that you know, or where did you pick up, or how did you get on to this particular writer?
Well, you know, I met him via a UFO Facebook group. I'm sure it was UFO Updates. And we have corresponded. Roger was also a member of the Roswell Slides group. And we were able to show that there was not a picture of an alien that had crashed at Roswell. It was a mummified Indian child. So that was something that we'd worked on. And he has I forget his exact military background, but he's now working in information technology. I know he has some experience with radar and things, but he lives in Sweden, so it's important to know that. He does speak English, although he's not comfortable with the radio interview or anything. So he has been writing about the topic of the Pentagon story for a Swedish magazine, and I would below the title, but basically, you know, UFO news.
Oh,
UFO
it's fine. If there's some other good people out there that are into this, it's fine to mention them here on the show. I mean, we send shout outs to people like the guys over at the Debrief, and other shows all the time. Erica Lukes, like networking with people in the system. So yeah, hey, it's okay.
Well, you know, I've collaborated with Roger on a lot of projects, and he has written, I've given him a format when he has an article, especially he has had a great success record with getting, new and, on previously unreleased information from the Pentagon through Susan Gow and before her princess or Major Harris. And so I'll let him do an article to frame the information, and we've co-written some pieces, especially the ones concerning the Robert Bigelow's involvement on the OSAP contract, which was the predecessor of ATIP. So that's Roger's
background.
Tell us
a little bit more about that. Let's get into that a little bit here, what you do on Blue Blurry Lines is you kind of dig into stuff that's a little bit more behind the scenes than everybody else, and it's one of the reasons that I really like this particular publication that you got going here. So let's go back a little bit and just talk about that.
Okay, well, so one of the things that the original New York Times story did was they didn't give a really good definition of what ATIP was. They briefly mentioned Robert Bigelow and Harry Reid. Well, Harry Reid he became friends with Robert Bigelow. They're both Las Vegas citizens, and of course, Bigelow was a hotel billionaire who had developed an aerospace company, and he was making these inflatable capsules for space flight and had a contract with NASA. So, you know, he's well-connected. Harry Reid arranged somehow. There's different versions of the story or different interpretations, but, well, I need to back up and say Robert Bigelow, he's been interested in the UFO field for quite a while. He had the National Institute for Discovery Science, which was like a huge talent pool of scientists interested in the UFO topic. And, he also bought this Skinwalker Ranch in Utah, and I'm sure the listeners, most of you will know about the alleged paranormal events there, and some of which are somewhat UFO related. Well, it was partly because of this ranch that Harry Reid was interested, and supposedly a government person who wound up becoming the director of the contract for the predecessor to ATIP is called Advanced Aerospace Weapons. I forget now, something program, but it had weapons in the name, and that's kind of interesting. So what they did was they wanted to study this topic, the ranch and paranormal and UFO things under the guise of a military study on aerospace future technologies. And Bigelow was the sole bidder for the contract. And it was originally, I think $10 million in the first round and 12 in the second for a total of $22 million. It only ran for about 2 years with funding. I think it kind of continued without funding. That was officially started in 2008, although the paperwork and such was in 2007. And Elizondo came on later. He said he wasn't really part of this generation of it, and it refocused as ATIP to strictly UFOs. And so, well, before we go any further with that, did you want to focus on any aspect of that?
Well, we could back up just a tiny little bit here, because when you were talking about the OSAP, that was the Advanced Aerospace Weapons Systems Application Program. Okay, so for people out there listening, no, I don't have an identical memory. I just decided I would look that up really quickly. And it turns out that this program, ATIP, was underneath the umbrella of that program. So the OSAP program was a larger program, and this ATIP program was a subsection of that program.
And it's kind of confusing to use that word program, because the OSAP in particular was a contract, and Robert Bigelow hired, he put together a team. He also had a contract with MUFON and had them go out and do field investigations and report to him. He was funding them, and that was one aspect of it. Another one was he contracted them. The OSAP study called for technical reports on certain topics, lift, propulsion, and I forget what other things, but, you know, some of them were sort of exotic sounding. And the original plan was to have MUFON people write that, and they did write 5 or 6 papers, and that part was kept secret. That wasn't in the New York Times or anything else. And Roger's reporting revealed that. And we even talked to one of the authors of the reports in our article. But they were not really as scientific as the program was asking for. So Bigelow's people, you know, Colm Kelleher, who co-authored the Skinwalker book, he was the director of, I think, the science function of Bigelow's project. He was working with MUFON. He and Hal Puthoff, I think, was actually subcontracted. He wrote at least one of the reports himself. They eventually did 38 reports, maybe 39, on these topics.
We got the break, and then we'll have more with Kurt, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
A record-setting heat wave continued to bake the Southwest on Saturday, with several areas close to setting new records. Phoenix did set a record with 5 consecutive days at 115 degrees and over, and is forecast to make it 6. The heat also spurring on a wildfire north of Phoenix. That fire has expanded to more than 25 square miles, forcing evacuations in the towns of Strawberry and Pine. Multiple excessive heat warnings remain in effect in the area through Sunday. and a driver crashed into spectators at a South Florida Pride parade, killing one and seriously injuring another. The incident happened Saturday evening at the beginning of the Wilton Manors Stonewall Pride Parade in Fort Lauderdale. The driver reportedly joined the parade, accelerating into the crowd when it was his turn to go. The driver was taken into custody. This is USA Radio News. More than 50 House Republicans have sent a letter to the White House asking President Biden to remove Vice President Kamala Harris from her role in leading the effort to solve the border crisis. In the letter, the group cites the high number of border apprehensions and the fact that she has not yet visited the border or met with Border Patrol or ICE agents. In recent interviews, Harris has said that she will visit the border at some point. But Representative Yvette Harrell says that her absence on the border is a dereliction of duty. The New Mexico Republican is a signee of that letter and tells Fox News that Harris needs to go to the border in order to fully understand the issue.
To not see it firsthand and understand what kind of serious issue this is for our communities, our law enforcement, Border Patrol, it just doesn't make sense. And I think it's a dereliction of her duty, as borders are, to not want to be down here and understand this issue and do something about it and work with us across the aisle to fix the crisis at the border.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers, but if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need, just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So let's continue with the next part of what Kurt was about to tell us.
Well, the technical reports. Now, this is interesting because before the Senate gave the study, I mean, the order for the UAP report, they asked the Defense Intelligence Agency, give us all the products from ATIP. And the response was a list of these studies, as if this is the only thing that OSAP ATIP ever did. Within these studies, one of them was written by Eric Davis, one was written by Kit Green, and these are all names that would be familiar to UFO buffs. There were also others that would not be familiar, names that would not be familiar, such as just some physicists. But
a few physicists. We'll just phone them up. We'll invite them over for a few drinks.
So we had to, I don't know if you get the topics handy there, Randall, but there were things like warp drive and human interface between man and machine. And, you know, most of this stuff, you know, there was only one report, and that was Dr. Kit Green's, that, and we've seen a draft of it, not the final version. It mentions some UFO material, but none of the others that we know of do. It's all about aerospace stuff. So was this camouflage for the military contract? Was this UFO warp? But we know that there was this other aspect of it. There was the MUFON warp, which was casework. And one thing Tim McMillan discovered in his investigation was that, and this has been passed around but not shown. I mean, Leslie Kane has this and other people that reported on it, is this BAS 10-month report. And it's like a 500-page book with contributors like Jacques Vallée, and he was part of this program, and John Schuessler and others. It talks about all sorts of UFO cases, and it kind of repeats UFO history, and we really haven't seen a good enough sample from it to know if it's useful, but apparently it wasn't because the contract was canceled. So the military, whatever they actually asked for, they weren't satisfied or didn't feel like it was worth continuing based on the material Bigelow provided.
This is kind of interesting because it gets into the maze of really who is looking at what where. Maybe you can help me fill in a couple of those blanks here because I haven't really been able to pinpoint exactly what I'd like to know. And that is when these plainclothes guys are able to fly into basically a military zone and land on a military ship and requisition all of the data tapes and records that are coming off it about this Tic Tac event, and then just fly off again. And it's like, where did they come from and where did they go? Nobody has been able to answer that question. We only know that somehow this time, at least, the records came out again. We've heard about it for years that people, I got footage. I got it on. These guys showed up. They took it. And that's the last we heard of it. This is the first time I've ever seen any of it actually come back out again. So we had the DIA, and then it went to this OSAP thing, and then it went down to this ATIP thing. Somewhere in between the DIA and the OSAP thing is some department of the military somewhere. Now, I think the Navy weren't they the ones who were primarily above that, like between the DIA and OSAP, or do we know exactly?
Well, not really. I think they coordinated with it, but the Navy launched a separate investigation. In a recent statement, the Pentagon spokesperson, Goff, said in no uncertain terms, the UAP task force was not ATIP. It's not UAP task force is not a continuation of it. You know, they were separate entities, and the new effort stems chiefly out of what the Navy was doing. That raises a lot of questions. One is, if ATIP had nothing, why is Elizondo so adamant that they have this quality video and sensor data? You know, of course, he can't show it to us, so we don't know. I mean, is he overstating this to keep the issue alive? We just can't be sure. And it's also what we have to assume that there was some investigation before that. If the government had all the answers, there would never be the need for something like OSAP or ATIP. So it's just... We have a few puzzle pieces. They don't fit together, and there's got to be something larger going on. John Alexander used to give some pretty interesting information on what the government knew, how involved they were, and how, you know, people don't understand how the government works and how we make a lot of false assumptions on it. But in his book, which came out in 2011, just as ATIP was the funding was winding down, he said that there was no current investigation of UFOs. And yet, he's closely associated with Robert Bigelow and all the other people who were part of this contract. Now, he had also said at some other point that if there was classified data, he wouldn't share it. But it seemed like he pretty much told a fib there, the outright. He did just say that he didn't know of one, or, you know, he said there wasn't one. And he was pretty clear about it.
Now, I should tell you here, I kind of sort of thought that when Harry Reid worked with two other senators to set this thing up for the original study, that they funneled it on to Bigelow because Bigelow was one of Reid's contributors and a buddy, doing a favor for his buddy, because $22 million, the figure involved, or the one at least disclosed, in government parlance is nothing. It's toilet seats.
Right.
So even at that point, I think people need to realize this was a tiny program that they did as a favor.
Oh, and then it continued after the money ran out. And so how can we really call ATIP a program when it was actually Lou Elizondo doing this in his spare time without resources, and it was basically a telephone and email network. I mean, this wasn't like a team of, you know, if you picture like NASA control room with all these people sitting at computers and things. This is more like, you know, picture it more like the basement office of the X-Files with one or two people that are, you know, scrambling through folders and go in. And we don't even know for sure if there were active investigations. The only documented investigation that we know of came very late, and that was in August of 2017, where Elizondo was investigating the Nimitz witnesses. And this was months, weeks, or maybe a month before he left to join to the Stars. And that looked suspiciously like he was gathering some UFO evidence as he was leaving the door to be able to use for to the Stars in his new career. So they're really, of course, we hear that the documents with his emails and such have been destroyed, but there should be far more material. The only other thing I'm aware of, when I said it was the only thing, there is one other thing. There was copies of a slide presentation from the ATIP days, and I don't know if Elizondo was the author of that, but that does date to the period where he would be associated, and it shows some of the mission. It looks like it was a briefing for executives or possibly even senators, and you know it, but it's all general about aerospace and things. There were a few exotic things about using like energy signatures to mimic things for deceptive purposes. But there's nothing that direct about UFOs in it. You know, it's as sort of disconnected as those technical reports I mentioned.
We've got more to mention, and we will on our next segment with Gene and Randall and Kurt. You're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Let's get back to Lou Elizondo and continue this for a moment. This is interesting. Of course, he worked for the Two of the Stars Academy, but apparently he's no longer there. He's a lone wolf with his own site. He has an address there that you write if you want him to make a media appearance. Obviously, he's being seen everywhere, and he's making his presence known, making a big deal about the case of the missing emails and everything else. But that helps support him. What does he bring to the table anymore, except repeating the same little subset of stuff?
There are people that are beginning to compare him to Nick Pope, a former insider to some degree that is becoming more of a commentator. He does seem to be transitioning into that role, and he has made, it's an unbelievable amount of media appearances. And he does have fans. I don't know how they could keep up with them all.
Well, the thing I wonder here about, too, is at what point do you get tired of it? Not that we haven't approached him with possibly coming on the PowerCast. I know he's been to our forums and poked around for a while when the stuff first came out in 2017 and 2018. The question here is, when will we get to the next trick? What more does he have to tell us, if anything?
I mentioned earlier about how he seems to tease a lot of things. He in one interview recently, he talked about there's, you know, and he is so cautious when he refers to things, but he was talking around the issue of UFO crashes and speaking in terms of like exotic materials recovered. You know, that's the kind of language he was using. And he said that there's reason to believe that there is something even before Roswell. And then in a subsequent interview, he dropped more of a clue about it. And it was a case that's been investigated in Italy, where allegedly documents from Mussolini show that there was a saucer-like craft that had crashed and pieces of it were recovered. And this would have been, I think it was 19, I can't remember if it was 39 or 41, but in any case, that era, and certainly several years before Roswell. And I got the feeling that was probably not the most solid information. I don't want to say that it was a hoax, but it's one of these things that I wouldn't rest my reputation on it. You know, there are other things that are more recent, that are more solid, than something that's this distant and ancient, and I think is probably, you know, no better than hearsay. And it's good that he is eventually, you know, has finally come to look at UFO history, but I think he needs to focus on the very most credible material. But yeah, so what else has he got? I think his bag of tricks is pretty empty, unless and he's used this excuse so often that he's bound by NDA and so forth. Now that there's litigation against his former employer at the Pentagon, I don't know if that means we'll see more or even less. I mean, you can say, well, I can't show this now because this needs evidence in my trial. So, and if this was, you know, if we want to be cynical, this could be a publicity stunt. I mean, it gives him sort of some additional press, David versus Goliath, prevents him from sharing any more information. And I just don't know. I mean, there are people that regard him as a great patriot and whistleblower, but he's really not said that much.
That's the point I'm making here. It sounds to me that until this UAP thing came aboard, he was just a journeyman intelligence person, middle-level management. Suddenly he's thrust into the spotlight, clearly looking for a way to take advantage of it, which is fine, you know, no problem with a guy making a living. And is this something where he can go on and take this somewhere? But the question would be then, does he know enough about what's going on in the background in the field to grab on to interesting information, assuming here that he doesn't have any more to present? Certainly, if his security clearances allowed him a certain level of access, I suspect he'd hint at something more, and he's really not.
The one thing that we keep being reminded about is the recovered materials, the metamaterials. You know, at one point that was the big focus. People want to know, and of course, if you say something like that, you are hinting at UFO crash materials, and that's what people directly asked about, and that we get evasive answers. Now, there was a teaser before the unidentified show on history. There was a segment on the To the Stars channel on YouTube, and I think it's still there. It was never used as part of the show, and that has Elizondo and a SUV delivering some materials and report to Hal Putoff's office with Eric Davis in Austin, Texas, and they show him arriving, and they're calling over the radio or something, and, you know, like a code word, you know, it was like a military operation, and it was all dramatic, and they show him unveiling the material and everything, and but then nothing came of it, really. So and from what we know of it, some of the things are Tom DeLonge bought the old arts parts. That was a famous supposed UFO recovered material that had no chain of custody or provenance, and that's so often the case with this material. Someone comes up with something weird and says it's from a UFO crash, and it's claimed in an analysis that it displays these unusual properties. But the way they've gone about it, I mean, it's been more show business than scientific investigation. And now maybe he's out of this. I mean, he said he left it in part because it was the entertainment company, but he's still doing entertainment-like things. So I just don't know what to make of that.
Well, maybe they're not paying him enough money. Maybe it was part of that. The question here is, To the Stars Academy had done basically nothing except for this flurry of publicity.
Well, that's exactly right. They now, supposedly behind the scenes, Chris Mellon, with his background, after he was, I've forgotten his role, but he was also working with the Senate Intelligence Committee, was his most recent government job. So he knows these people, how they communicate and everything. He recently tweeted that this recent success came from his 2 years of lobbying them. And so that's one of the reasons I think when you hear these politicians speaking, when they talk about it, that the things they say are so similar to the things that he said in the press, you know, that, you know, accentuate the national security and the fact that we need to find out what these things are. I mean, it does seem like it's the same script. So Chris Mellon is an interesting figure. And so he was part of an effort called UFO Data, which I'm Randall, are you familiar with UFO Data at all?
The UFO Data Acquisition Project.
Leslie Kane's part of it.
Sure.
Chris Mellon.
We had Leslie Kane on. We had some of the UFO data people on. Apparently Chris O'Brien is working with them, too. So we've covered it, yeah.
So that effort was launched in 2016. And I think that is if you – or maybe it was 15, and then late in that year was when Chris Mellon's name, where he joined us on the board there. He was interviewed by Leslie Kane on the Huffington Post, and she asked him a lot of questions. He said he was unaware of ATIP at the time. He became aware of it only after meeting Lou Elizondo in either late 2016 or early 2017 before they joined to the Stars. Anyway, she asked him a number of questions about the government involvement. He said he didn't think there was an active investigation or a government cover-up, and he thought that it would be fruitless for us to expect the government to disclose anything. And it is just so different from his current point of view. You know, he was basically saying that it was, you know, that UFO data and efforts like that from civilians was the way to go, and not trying to get blood out of the stone of the government. And that's my characterization, not his words. So, and now, since his efforts with To the Stars, which was, you know, just a year or so later from that interview, was a complete change in the focus and attitude.
We've got to have another change in focus here. More to come with Kurt, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.